I forgot to put on the slide about how I have nothing to disclose. So I have nothing to disclose. You can just believe me. You know, the Surgeon General's been making the rounds. Somebody's going to start saying unkind things about how he's showing up at everybody's meeting. But we're glad that he came to our meeting. And here's his quote that folks have referred to about deputizing planners. I guess you could swap out architects or developers for his other built environment tour that he did this spring and through the summer and now into the fall. But he was our keynote speaker at our conference this year, too. So, again, I'm Anna from the American Planning Association, and we are a membership organization of close to 40,000 planners from around the United States. So, does everyone know what planning is? I know some of you know what planning is. There's a couple of shaking of heads. Good. So before I go into all of this, planning is all of the things pictured here. So planning is looking at how the environment in a city or region or neighborhood is used. Where do we put what kinds of buildings? How do we shape the transportation system? And then all of the kinds of policies that go towards implementing that. So most folks have heard of zoning code. There's a number of other regulations that shape and are supposed to dictate how buildings are sited. Chris referred to school siting. That would be a policy related to planning and all of the attendant kind of connectors that flow from that. So if we decide to put a school here, how are we going to get kids there? What is the system that's going to be needed to collect the children in school buses? Or what is the system that's going to be needed to manage traffic at the school? And those are all planning decisions. And then they also relate to economic development, community development. Planners are heavily involved in those things. And, of course, management of environmental systems, parks and recreation systems. Planners are involved in all of those. So planning really has a very far reach, and it can be interpreted very small if someone is working on very specific regulatory mechanisms, and it can also be interpreted very large if somebody's working on a comprehensive plan for an entire city for the next 30 years. So, again, the National Prevention Strategy, I like to think of this as a comprehensive plan using planning terminology for health. And the component of the National Prevention Strategy very explicitly addresses health and community safety, as other speakers have referred to. So moving forward, we have been working with APHA, we've been working with other organizations, and we've been trying to cultivate members from fields other than planning, particularly in public health. And now we're actually going to be able to operationalize some of those goals through new funding. So we have a project that we're interim title is Collaborating for Healthy Communities, Building Equity Through Partnerships and Planning. It's a partnership with the American Public Health Association. I'll thank Sean specifically right now for helping on our proposal to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But our goal is to improve the capacity of planning and public health to work together on community-based strategies to address chronic disease. That's our goal. And the four main areas of chronic disease determinants are listed there, which most of you are very familiar with. And those are the four areas that we'll be working on very specifically. So we've been funded for year one of a three-year project. 75% of our funding has to go out to our chapters. So it's not about funding the national organization or me or what I do to educate our planners, although that is a small part of it, and that's the 25% that's left over. But the 75% of funding is actually going to go to our members working in coalition with American Public Health affiliates and hopefully other groups in coalition as well, the architects in their community or the bicycle and pedestrian advocacy organization in their community. We want these to be extremely community-based projects and interventions that are working at the level of policy systems and environment change, which I'll go into a little bit more. But just briefly, we did release an RFP on a holiday, November 11th, so just last week. It's out there, and there's a website later on. And we will be supporting recipients with technical assistance and trainings and communications. So, as I said, it will support existing and hopefully new coalitions will form to start working on these initiatives, hopefully in places that haven't yet begun to think about this as much, haven't begun to bring in planners into their public health planning or their public health initiatives, and coordinate at the state level, coordinate at the local level, and coordinate with, as I said, other partners throughout the community. So however you wish to think of whatever types of projects and policy systems and environment strategies you want to work on would be the types of coalition partners that you would bring in. So combined, the two associations have over 100,000 person reach, which is really amazing. So when we have the project launched, when we have our awardees selected and they are working in communities and we are putting the message out there about what they're doing, between the two organizations, we can directly put it out to over 100,000 people immediately. And from there on, the impact is even greater because two-thirds of our members, probably more like three-quarters of APHA members, are working in the public sector, which means that they are directly working for the population of the United States. So as the message gets out there and as it trickles down through our members who are doing the projects and our members who are learning from their colleagues who are doing projects, our hope is ultimately that we have an extremely vast impact, and that is certainly CDC's goal, and we have a number of partner organizations who are doing parallel projects with us. The American Heart Association and the National WIC Association are also funding their chapters around the United States and affiliates to do this work. So they'll probably be working with them as well. And this really represents the first time that the Centers for Disease Control has and Prevention has funded directly an organization that is not traditionally a public health organization at all, we especially at this level. So APA is, of course, we work in planning, but we know that our members and the work of our members impacts public health potentially greater than the public health agency in most communities, right? Because the outcomes of our work is shaping the built environment in which people are making the choices about their health and about their behaviors and about their children and their families and how they move forward in their lives. So a potential impact of our work could last for generations. And we know that the impact of previous planners' work is having an impact on the current generations, and so we want to change that and create health for generations to come. So policy systems and environment strategies and approaches are really looking at those types of interventions that can have the longest-term impacts. Policies. Once you have a policy, it's difficult to go against it. So, for example, if a community is interested in changing its zoning code, which is policy, updating the zoning code so that we already have zoning code that separates factories from schools for the most part, for example, right? We don't have a lot of factories built next to schools, but we have a lot of highways built next to schools, and we have a lot of other health depleting components in neighborhoods, and if we shift the zoning code to support, say, mixed-use development so that people can walk to the school, people can walk to stores, people can access healthcare easier, then there's the potential for that to be, once it's in the code, then it's there for a long time. So that's an example of a policy. Systems. So looking at systems like transportation systems, but that can also include economic systems. Interventions that impact all elements of an organization, institution, or system. And then the environment. Interventions that involve changes to economic, social, or physical environments. So that's the realm of planners already. Policy, looking at systems, looking at environments. We're already doing that, but we're not doing it with a health lens. So by bringing together planning and public health and working on policy systems and environment, hopefully we will have a longer-term and bigger impact. So outcomes in the short term, as I said, we're funded for year one of a three-year project. We're not going to change the built environment in 3 years. We might not even achieve some of the policy aims in 3 years or systems or environmental shifts, but we're going to start it. And so in the short term, we're interested in increasing the messaging. We're interested in knowing that stakeholders, the members of the coalitions, the members of the community are have greater awareness about how planning decisions are made, what planning is, and how health can be integrated into it. Because there are numerous, maybe even infinite, opportunities to include health in all of the levels of planning. And then, of course, increased community capacity to know what policy systems and environment approaches are and to start thinking at that level and then have increased capacity to actually achieve them. And in the long term, I'm not afraid to say that I want to see full integration of planning and public health work leading to reduced chronic disease among Americans. That is our goal. Why else would we be doing this? We have to be optimists, and we have to keep our eyes on the prize. As several of our keynote speakers have said over the past couple of days, we need to keep in mind what our long-term goal is as we're doing all of the day-to-day work, and that's what we're moving towards. And we're moving towards a world where we don't have to talk about integrating health into planning because it's an automatic, normal, normative, everyday relationship between health and planning, that if there's any initiative to begin on a plan, that they think about health and they think about the aspects that impact health. And similarly, if folks are looking at health challenges, they're going to immediately look at the built environment. They're going to immediately look at some of the structural components that are influencing those health outcomes. So one of the most important things about this project and about what APA is all about right now is using data and health data to inform decision making. Looking at bringing data together from departments other than planning, particularly looking at public health data from health departments at the local level, city, county, regional, and state level, and then looking at what indicators that you can use as you're tracking, as you're putting a plan together, if you're on the planning side, and writing specific responsibilities into the plan to achieve the goals and objectives and to measure the indicators so that we can have a sense over time about where we've been, where we're going, and what we achieved. Oh, and the last thing I'll say is that we've heard anecdotally that when there was the use of health data in planning policies and projects, and particularly when they were looking for funding, when planning and public health did come together, that use of data was successful in helping them get that funding. So there is one measurable impact of using data in your planning efforts. So these are some of the best partners that we've seen to work in coalition with one another. The ones I highlighted are ones that might be particularly beneficial and key. So obviously beginning with planning departments and health departments, looking at schools, because we know that as the younger that we can reach people, the better outcomes for their lifetimes. Foundations, local foundations in particular, have been very influential in helping integrate planning into public health into planning, because they're able to bring funds, obviously, and they're also able to set an agenda because of that. So when the local foundation has buy-in and they go and they work with the planning department and they work and they bring in the community because they can act as a third voice outside of government, there's been a lot of success there. And, of course, when there's community organizations who are advocating for trees, who are advocating for older adults, who are advocating for bicycle and pedestrian systems, there can be policy changes and shifts there because they can galvanize a population around those ideas and goals. And then, of course, hospitals are very important. APA has a number of resources. This is a picture of our new website for the RFP and the new partnership between the American Public Health Association and APA, that you can see that there's a bunch of resources here. The timeline for the RFP is listed on the right, so you can get a snapshot of that, and then you can download it straight from this website. So it's planning.org/national centers. I'm the manager of the Planning and Community Health Center. It's one of our national centers, so /help, and then PSE Coalitions, Policy Systems Environment Coalition. And here's the timeline. So we're looking for proposals right before Christmas. And if you're interested, we would want a coalition to submit a letter of intent so that we can know that you're going to apply. And thank you. And then again, here's the link. Pretty sure the slides are going to be available later. So the link is right there, but you can see it written out in a straight line. So you can follow it there as well. Thank you.